Hello, iterative marketers. Welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast, where each week we give marketers and entrepreneurs actionable ideas, techniques, and examples to improve your marketing results. If you want notes and links to the resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. Now let's dive into the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, and with me, as always, is the edumacated and knowledgeable Elizabeth Aaron. How are you doing today, Elizabeth?
I'm good, Steve. Edumacated.
Edumacated.
Is that a new one?
Yeah. Well, we haven't made up any words recently, so
we were overdue. Why not?
So what's new in your world?
You know, it's the holiday season, and so that's pretty much taken over a little bit of everything. What about you? Have you been gotten wrapped up in the holidays, or do you still have some personal time?
Not yet. I'm other than the usual chaos of three children and a single household and a little one under the age of 6 months. I have managed to carve out a little bit of time lately for reading again, which is exciting.
That is. Are you reading anything in particular?
I picked up Daniel Pink's new book, To Sell is Human, and it's fascinating. The premise is basically that it doesn't matter what you do for a living, you probably have a component of your job that is sales, and gets into how to be successful at that part of your job, whatever it is your job might be.
That's true.
Yeah, it's good. It's a different take on persuasiveness, which I guess is very relevant to marketing and certainly my role within the organization too of sales. So,
well, I'm interested in hearing more about it as you get a little further in.
I am too, if I actually get to finish it.
We'll see. You'll have to let us know.
So what are we actually talking about today?
So today we are talking about the intersection of iterative marketing and content marketing, specifically as it applies to continuous improvement in content marketing, as it applies to the journey states. And for those of you that have been consistently listening, you'll know that this is the fourth in a four-part series. You know, in episode 36, we explored the C state. In episode 37, we explored think state. In episode 38, we explored do. And so today we're wrapping up this four-part series by discussing what is needed to target the last two states of grow and give.
Yeah, and grow and give are two very distinct states. We're just combining them for this episode because A, we didn't want to make this a five-part series. We figured that would be cruel and unusual punishment. And B, they're relatively simple in the approach. So we have enough time to cover both in one episode.
So we're going to start by talking about the objective of the content in each of those states, both grow and give, because they do differ. They're different states. Then we're going to go on to talk about how we measure success of the content based on those objectives, and then how we iterate on that content.
And then we'll wrap up the episode with a quick summary of all of the journey states, kind of what the objectives were for each one, and a few tips that we had mentioned in previous episodes. That doesn't mean you can skip them. You still have to go back and listen to them if you haven't already. But it'll be a nice way to wrap things up.
Sounds good.
So when we talk about the content marketing to the grow and give state, what are our goals?
So when we're talking about grow, as a reminder to our audience, this person has purchased from our brand before, and they're happy. They're a happy and loyal customer. They've got every intention of purchasing from us again in the future.
And that's very different from give, or slightly different from give, in that in give, this is somebody who's already a loyal customer, but additionally, they believe in our company so far that they're willing to help us along the way. They believe in our mission and they want to refer us business. They want to give us reviews, etc.
So it's sort of like the difference between, we have a local coffee shop that I go to all the time called Lean Bean. It's delicious. If I was a Grow Lean Bean customer, I would go there every day to get my coffee. And if I was Give, I would go there every day to get my coffee and then rave about the coffee like I am on our podcast right now. So obviously, I am a Give customer for Lean Bean in Coeur d'Alene. If you come by, I recommend it.
And likewise, I think there's an attitudinal difference from a consumer towards that brand as well. If you think about it, there are brands that we engage with where it's purely a take relationship. Yes, we're giving them money in exchange for their goods or services, but we want to get whatever we can from them, and we really don't care a whole lot about
that brand success or what's going to happen there. And then it, for some brands, it's a give and take relationship. And that's really where that word give comes from in that journey state, is that, yes, I'm exchanging my money in exchange for their goods or services, but I also want the best for that organization or that brand, to the extent that maybe, you know, I might not take them for all they're worth. I'm willing to pay full price for stuff. I'm willing to refer them business and kind of go above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to content, what is our objective for Grow? What are we trying to do with our content?
Yeah, so this is interesting because our Grow objective is actually very similar to C, and that we need to add value to the audience to ensure that they continue to know, like, and trust us, so they continue to buy from us. But in addition to that, we want to encourage them to grow into our products and services.
And so this comes in the form of nurturing these customers, helping them get to know the brand or organization better, and then providing them value along the way, utility, things that they can use regardless of whether they're, you know, using all components of our product or service or not.
So in addition to what Steve just said, we're also looking to encourage greater adoption of our products and services. And so what that means is how to get the most out of what they currently have. So maybe they've purchased a printer from your company, but they don't know about all of the different features that that printer has.
And for some organizations, organizations where you have one product or service that they've purchased from you, but then there are other products and services that they would also be interested in that they haven't bought yet, you're trying to do that cross-sell or that upsell, trying to get them to add on to their existing purchase or purchase a completely different product or service in addition to the one they already have.
Now, this is still going to be a constrained audience with a pretty straight forward call to action. And really what we're focusing on here is looking at retention and repeat purchase, and as well as lifetime value or size of the purchase.
Right. So we're trying to get them to come back, or we're trying to get them to buy more, or both, ideally.
Or both.
Right?
Yeah. Both sounds good.
How does that differ when we talk about give and contents intersection there?
Yep. So when we're talking about give specifically, here we're looking to make our customers feel good about spreading the word about our product or services. And then not only that, not only do we want to encourage them to do that, but we want to give them the ability to do that by providing the words to say that accurately represents our brand. While we're doing that, we are also trying to achieve the goals that we have in Grow, of getting them to grow into our products, as well as either providing cross-sell or upsell messaging so that they buy more from us.
Yeah, and it's really along the lines of if you think about, like, these are your fans, right? So you want to make them feel special about being fans, and then also give them the words and tools they need to spread the word, because they're your most valuable asset when it comes to your audiences. They're the ones that can really truly amplify the best parts of your product and service while kind of squashing maybe some of the errors or issues.
Yeah, it comes down to that word of mouth referral. You know, I'm going to, take something that a recommendation from a trusted friend over, you know, an anonymous review that I've read online.
But you have to connect it back to what's in it for me. You have to make them feel special about doing that share or that review or something along those lines, or even incentivize it slightly without taking the focus off of making them feel good about helping you and your brand.
And here the KPIs that we're trying to impact are referral rate, as well as consumer review ratings. These are two different areas where we can really monitor if we are achieving these goals.
Yeah, and consumer review ratings is actually coming, you know, you think about that in the context of B2C, but this is also becoming to be a bigger thing in the B2B area, where you have sites like G2 Crowd or some of the other B2B review type sites that are coming up and becoming more and more popular as business stakeholders start to look to the crowd for their opinions of their vendors. Mm-hmm. How do we measure this? How do we know whether or not in sort of real time whether we're accomplishing our goals? Because if we wait to see whether we're getting the referrals in, or if we wait to see if the consumer ratings go up, that can be quite a lag on when we're publishing content.
Mm-hmm. And a measurement sort of breaks down into, or at least we're breaking it down into, three different areas. We're talking about measurement of utility content. We're talking about measurement of our cross-sell or upsell messaging. And then we're talking about measurement of our give messaging. And the reason that this varies is because what it is we're trying to achieve with each of these varies. So when we're talking about utility content, Here, the key is engagement metrics. We're looking for dwell time or percentage of, you know, a video watched. We're looking at email open rates or click-through rates. Again, when we're looking at an A-B test specifically, not necessarily comparing across multiple programs or campaigns that we're running. We're looking at pages per visit, and we're looking at bounce rate.
And then for cross-sell, upsell, this is going to look a lot more like a direct response sort of piece. You know, it's going to be persuasive in its content. And if at all possible, we have a call to action embedded right inside of that content to get them to take action and upgrade their service or add on this additional product or service that they weren't thinking about. The frustration here is if you look at, we're cross-selling and upselling to our existing customer base, which is not a huge audience. And then we're really only sending them, ideally, the offers that are relevant to what they already have, which makes it an even smaller audience. So chances are our data, our feedback on those sales, on those conversions is going to be relatively limited. Still, we're going to want to track it to the best of our ability.
And we can do that through engagement metrics, is where we have the opportunity to really see what's impacting that. And the assumption here is that if someone is reading our content, then that's contributing to their purchasing decision. So a great example here is a software client has a series of add-ons that you can purchase in addition to their primary software. And so they write various case studies to talk about the benefits of those additional add-ons. And looking at the engagement metrics, is it the case study for add-on A or the case study for add-on B? Which one are people engaging with? You know, under the assumption that if they're taking time to read the case study, then again, that is contributing to an upsell in that particular scenario.
Right, because we can't just wait around for those upsells and cross-sells to occur. And if we try to measure them, chances are we're not going to have a whole lot of statistical significance in whether or not the upsell or cross-sell occurred for an existing customer who is in market for that particular cross-sell or upsell and receive that piece of content at that time.
And then finally, give. That's the one we haven't talked about yet. What sort of measurement do we have in terms of give?
Well, much like your upsell or cross-sell content, this is going to be persuasive in nature. So chances are there is a direct response component. We're asking them to take action, either subtly or directly, to share the you know, the virtues of our product or service, or to give us a review, note a referral that they gave so that we can reward them for it in some way, shape, or form. So we're going to be looking at what is that response rate based on the content that they've consumed.
And while it's a lagging indicator, there's also a brand component to our give measurement. And this is where we really want to take a look at the brand vector process. And if you need a refresher, we talked about that in episode 11. But the brand vector process can help you to determine if your customers are in alignment with your brand.
Because if you're effectively getting this evangelist group, this give group, to talk about your product or service, that is going to carry a lot more weight than anyone else. But if they're not talking about it in the same way that you're talking about it, that you've published in your as your brand, right? Then they're going to be guiding a segment of the audience off on some tangent of what your value proposition is, or what it feels like to work with you, or et cetera, that isn't core to your brand. And so you want to kind of keep tabs on that and make sure that your customers actually know, like, and trust the same you that you think you are.
Mm-hmm. And so now that we're measuring and we've got some data to look at, now we have the ability to iterate or improve on this. And so when we're talking about our grow and our give states, there's two avenues of iteration available to us. We can either iterate on the content, or we can iterate on the demand.
And iterating on the content is pretty straightforward. This is what we've been talking about basically the whole time. How can you execute A-B tests to test, you know, email subjects or headlines or different types of content or calls to action to improve the content that you're producing based on the metrics that you're looking at, whether that's engagement or some sort of direct response, cost per action type of metric.
And at the end of the day, what we're trying to figure out here is we want insights into our audience. What do they want to learn more about, or what do they want to be entertained about, so that we can get them to engage with this content?
Yes. Aside from share buttons, which we talked about in the last several episodes, we're not talking about today. Aside from share buttons, we want insightful experiments. Mm-hmm. We want to learn more about the audience and not just whether this headline beats that headline, right?
Exactly.
What about iterating on demand? How can we do that?
So iterating on demand, really we're looking at our feedback loop here. We want to get with our frontline representatives on a regular basis, and we want to find out what is it that our customers are asking for. You know, what do they have questions about? Where are their gaps in knowledge? What parts of the products or services are they not adopting because they don't understand it or they just don't know that it even exists?
And then we can go and create content that fills those gaps, that meets those needs, and better it creates better informed consumers of our own products and services. The trick is you always want to make sure that this is an ongoing process so that you can come back and get that feedback again from that front line, whether it's customer service or sales or whoever else is communicating directly with the customers. Get that feedback back again to make sure that you have actually closed that gap. And you're not going to get it immediate, but you should see that over time, the issues, the questions that your customers are having are changing as you're plugging different holes.
And again, just to sort of point on something that you said is that make sure you're doing this consistently, because if you don't, you could very easily get off on a tangent of developing content that has absolutely no tie or interest to your audience at all, and then you've sort of wasted this opportunity.
So I think this is a great opportunity for us to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll take what we're talking about in very abstract ways and break it down into some concrete, although fictional, examples.
Before we continue, I'd like to take a quick moment to ask you, iterative marketers, a small but meaningful favor and ask that you give a few dollars to a charity that's important to one of our own. This week, we are asking that you make a donation to March of Dimes. March of Dimes is an international organization working hard to find the causes of serious health problems that threaten babies. Make a donation today to fund the research that gives every baby a fighting chance. Learn more at marchofdimes.org or visit the link in the show notes. If you would like to submit your cause for consideration for our next podcast, please visit iterativemarketing.net/podcast and click the Share a Cause button. We love sharing causes that are important to you.
And we're back. So before the break, we talked about content marketing to the grow state in very abstract terms. We talked about the objectives and how to measure, but I think it'd be really helpful to our audience if we broke this down with a few concrete examples rather than just talking about this at a high level.
So for each of these examples, we'll give you a company, a fictitious company in a specific industry or, segment, and we'll talk both about grow content and give content.
So for the first one, let's talk about B2C. And for this example, we're going to make up a camping gear company. And again, this is entirely fictitious. We don't have a camping gear client. That said, if you're in the industry and would like to work with us, slots open, right?
That would be fun.
So in this scenario, our camping gear manufacturer wants to create some content for its grow audience. What would be some examples of some things they could do here?
So again, this is going to be similar in some ways to RC content. So we're talking about lifestyle content, including camping tips. When we're talking in terms of utility, we would be putting out a campsite review website for them.
And then we also want to get them to buy more camping gear, right? So they mm-hmm. in theory have bought something from us. We want them to buy more. So anyone who returned their little warranty card, we can reach out to them and say they returned a warranty card for a tent. We could reach out with some content about how to select an air mattress or a portable stove.
Yeah, and this is great insight because again, we know who these people are. We know what they're buying. We know what their interests are. And we can find that next offer for them that is going to be aligned with those interests.
How does this differ for our give audience, for the people that are really gung-ho about our whatever brand it is of camping gear?
So here we're looking to create a community of elite campers. These are people that we really want to encourage them to share their camping stories and their pictures. Potentially we're doing this through a contest. Again, we want them to talk about our products and our brand in a way, show them using it, showing their engagement with it, so then their friends and family see that and then think about us next time they want to make a purchase.
And then we want to sprinkle in a few persuasive pieces here, asking them to spread the word, talk about how they can help our brand by posting reviews of their products and by sharing with their friends and family how great our stuff is and that they can be, part of this elite group of campers that we love and love us.
And here's the key. If we want them to do this for us, we need to, one, ask them. We can't just assume they're going to do it on their own. We need to make the ask, but we also need to make it easy for them. So if we're asking them to write a review, we're including a link to that review site. We're making that path, have the least number of, speed bumps along the way so that we're able to get to our end goal.
How does this differ when we look at a B2B group? Can you think of a good fictitious example for a B2B company?
Sure. Let's talk about printer sales and services. So here, when we're talking about our grow content, we're talking about, this could be tips for conserving or getting the most life out of your products. It could include a paper compatibility tool. Again, if you have a printer, you need to buy paper. So how can we, help to encourage those sales and also extend, the life and the happiness that they have with the product that they're using?
And then you could also throw in a semi-persuasive piece talking about, when it's time to replace your printer. So we're not directly selling in this piece. It's still content, but it's content that provides utility to the audience while helping upsell or cross-sell, again, helping them identify their needs for additional products from us.
Now, when we move into give this changes, here we're looking to sort of track a list of what we would consider our happiest customers. And we're doing this based on their net promoter score.
And once we have that list that, it's in a B2B, it might be a little bit harder to create like a true community out of this. Although some groups do it. I mean, Marketo has a great community of their, their evangelists and, HubSpot as well. I mean, there are a lot of examples within marketing of organizations that have created communities, but if you're selling printers and toner, you're probably not going to create a community of printer and toner evangelists. So you're probably going to be looking at a list of your most loyal customers. And then you're going to want to reach out to them with some persuasive content about how they can help your brand and your organization, again, through reviews and referring colleagues.
So that's our B2C and our B2B. How about we tackle nonprofit?
Sure. So for a nonprofit example, we're going to talk about, we'll actually pull a real organization here because not one that's a client. Although again, if you work for American Cancer Society and are looking for some help, please feel free to reach out to us, but it'll make it a little bit easier to get your head around it. So we'll talk about fictitiously what American Cancer Society could do, although in many cases, they are actually doing some of these ideas.
So when we talk about grow content, again, we're targeting this content at those people that have participated before, and we want them to participate again, either by volunteering or giving money to American Cancer Society.
Yeah, you've got a lot of givers who are just annual givers. You want to make sure that you're top of mind when it comes time for that annual giving cycle for them again. And you don't want to wait until you get to, September, October, November, December before you get back in front of them. So having some ongoing content that can help solidify that relationship and make them feel good about it is a good thing.
And we do this by keeping them posted on their particular impact that their involvement has had on that awareness program or on that donation program. So, when we're talking about perhaps the Great American Smokeout, we're talking about the number of people that the program touched, how many people participated, how many people made the commitment to quit or never start smoking in the first place. These are all things that help demonstrate how, it's not just one individual person contributing, that each person adds up together to make this overall impact on the community.
And then you also want to try and tie in some user-generated content because if you can get the stories from people as to why they gave and why they donated, it can be really impactful in giving other people even more reason to continue to contribute and donate in the future.
Well, in a lot of cases, even if you haven't been touched, you particularly haven't been touched by something, the likelihood that you know someone who's been touched by, one of these awareness campaigns is huge. And so I know the user-generated stories get me each and every time. And even though I don't know the person on TV, I am tearing up right along with them.
Let's move into give content for our nonprofit audience. And I know for me, this gets a little bit fuzzy and blurry because if you think about it, unlike a commercial entity where when you move from grow, it's a one-way sort of thing where you're just taking from the company and you move into give and now you're taking and giving. In nonprofit, by virtue, if you're a donor or a volunteer, you're already giving. So how do we give on top of giving?
So this is where, you know, it really comes out in being an evangelist for the company. So when we're talking about our give content, we're targeting this at people that are not only volunteering, but that are reaching out to others to help get them involved.
And so here we're really trying to, pardon the overused cliche here, but really grease the skids on this. We're trying to reduce that friction and motivate people to get others involved. And so this could be stories about others who've been successful in rallying a team or additional donors or additional volunteers and what it felt for them to do that and how great of an experience it was to contribute at an even higher level.
Yeah, we're talking about a lot of times the just one donation messaging or sort of concept gets used where, you know, one donation can do this. And it's if you're someone who is so tied and so invested in the organization, then, you know, you want to increase your impact and you want to reach out to your friends and you're going to say, hey, look at what your $10 can do. And you're actively calling your friends and your family. You're putting messages out on Facebook, asking for people within your community to help get involved in this organization that you're passionate about.
And to do that, we want to make it easy for them, right? So we're going to give them links to download posters they can put up. We're going to give them things that's easy for them to share socially to rally others. Stuff that we know works so that they're not just blindly poking at trying to get other people involved. They're actually going to be armed with the messaging that we know works to get other people involved.
And in some cases, it's content that's planting the seed. It can be content that, you know, sort of how to content of how to, you know, how to start your local branch of a certain organization or how to put together a team or a group to fundraise or to walk in the next walk, including fundraising ideas for that or ways to get people involved.
Well, I think we're coming up on another nice long episode. So why don't we start to wrap things up and loop through all five of the journey states that we've talked about in this four-part series and just kind of summarize what our goals are and a few keys to success.
So we started our journey into the journey states with C. And really, as a reminder here, our C objective is aggregating a consistent and sustained audience and getting them to know, like, and trust us. And when we do this, really what we're looking to do is one, we want to make sure that we're focusing on value and not selling. This audience is not ready to hear a sales message yet. Instead, again, we're trying to get them to know, like, and trust us. And to help make sure that we're getting that message to them, we're using the PESO model to stack our channels so that we're touching them in a lot of different ways, and they're getting that consistent, comprehensive message sort of as they move through their daily lives.
And then we want to take a targeted audience, so we're staying in front of the same people over and over again, and convert them into a subscribed base. We want them opting in to receive our content on a regular basis so that A, it becomes a free channel, and B, we can absolutely ensure that we're hitting the same people over and over again so that when they are ready to make a purchase, when they are in market, we're top of mind. How about Think? What are we looking for with Think?
So in Think, we're looking to be a resource as they move through the buyer's journey. And along the way, we want to influence how they're thinking about their purchasing decision.
And so here, it's again that focus on being a resource, not necessarily on a hard sell. It can be commercial content because they're considering a purchase. But we don't want to say buy now and here's a sense of urgency and here's why you need to buy and get in the store now and here's a coupon. No, it's not that kind of content. It's here are some things to consider if you're in market for such and such.
Really, you're focused on educating and influencing their decision.
And again, we can use that PESO model to make sure that we're checking all the boxes and all the available channels and that we're taking advantage of the synergies between them when we can use paid to amplified owned or when we can use earned to amplified paid. And coming back to engagement, we want to make sure that they're engaging this content and optimize for that engagement, not necessarily that sale.
When we get into do, we're looking to provide utility and make it easy for them to make this decision to purchase the product. Here, we're looking at a message that's going to be more commercial than see or think state. And that's okay. They expect it. They want it in this state. In a lot of cases, keep in mind that the content that you're creating is going to be used to justify the decision, either to themselves or to someone else within their organization or their family, whoever else is involved in that buying decision.
And the content's going to vary pretty wildly depending on what type of business you're in, whether that's B2C, whether it's an impulse purchase or a very considered purchase, whether it's B2B or nonprofit or political. I mean, it's very different depending on what it is that you're offering here. But that also means that your measurement is going to have to change. as you move between businesses as well. And one of the key areas that we notice when working with clients that they miss oftentimes is if you're delivering your due state content directly person to person, either through customer service or through sales or through account managers or whatever, make sure that that's trackable so that you can measure and iterate and improve upon it. And that means using links instead of attachments and a bunch of other stuff.
And finally, getting into what we talked about today, grow and give. Our objective in Grow is to ensure that our current customers continue to know, like, and trust us, as well as getting them to continue to purchase our product and or service or additional product or services that we may be offering.
And give's just a little bit different. We're trying to do all of the above and grow, but more importantly, we want to take advantage of these fans and encourage them and enable them to share the word about our product or service.
In both cases, we want to use A/B testing to help improve our content. And we want to also make sure that we're measuring the right things to determine success.
And ideally, we want to create a feedback loop because we have people on the front lines that are hearing from our customers on a day-to-day basis. They know what their needs are. So let's make sure that we're catering to those needs and then checking to make sure that we filled those gaps in the future. Mm-hmm. I think that brings us to the end of 4 very long episodes in a very long series, and I think that's a great thing. I love the content that we covered, but it's definitely time to move on to something else. So I want to thank everybody for their time that they made for us this week, and until next week, onward and upward.
If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or your favorite podcast directory. If you want notes and links to resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There, you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our username is @ITER8IVE, or email us at podcast@iterativemarketing.net. The Iterative Marketing Podcast is a production of Brilliant Metrics, a consultancy helping brands and agencies rid the world of marketing waste. Our producer is Heather Ullman, with transcription assistance from Emily Bechtel. Our music is by Seastock Audio Music Production and Sound Design. You can check them out at seastockaudio.com. We'll see you next week. Until then, onward and upward.